Good evening, everybody. Each day, we are writing a page of a book, which at the end of our lives could be called the Chronicles of, just put your name there, like the Chronicles of Narnia. I have wondered this week what my chronicle will read like. What will yours read like? And I'm talking about chronicles because today's first reading is from the book of Chronicles. The two books of the Chronicles lay out the genealogy from Adam all the way up until the proclamation of King Cyrus, who ended the Babylonian exile, and you hear about that in today's first reading. But Chronicles contains more than just a simple genealogy, a simple timeline. It's a theological book. It's a reconstruction of God's intervention in human history. It is also a recording of the human response to divine intervention. And that's why I say that it's just not a timeline, it's a theological book. So today I want to look at and reflect in this homily and look at our lives as a theological work and build towards it. How can we do that? What does that look like? Where might we start? So, I have 3 points, and that's what I'm trying to accomplish. So here's my first point. The section we read in today's first reading has two primary movements. And remember this word, movements, as much as I'm also going to ask you to remember the concept of theological work. So, two primary movements. The first movement talks about the infidelity upon infidelity, particularly of Judah, the southern kingdom. You know, Israel was divided into two kingdoms after Solomon. The southern kingdom was called Judah, with Jerusalem as the capital, and the northern kingdom was called Israel, with Samaria as the capital. So the northern kingdom was already decimated by the Assyrians. Judah should have learned from that, but Judah does not. Judah continues infidelity upon infidelity. But despite the infidelity of Judah, God never gave up on them. God kept sending messengers. Why? Out of compassion for the people. The people may come to hear and embrace life. But as Chronicles says, they did not heed. Finally, God simply let Judah experience the consequence of their infidelity through the Babylonian exile. Fortunately, though, that's not the final word. We then hear of a second movement. Remember, I said there are two movements in this reading? The first is the infidelity upon infidelity. The second movement, a movement initiated by God. God comes to the rescue of the people for no merit of their own. God rescues the exiled people. And so you hear in today's second reading, sorry, in the first reading, through Cyrus, the king of Persia, Judah is restored. The remnants return to Jerusalem and they built what is now called the Second Temple. In other words, God's compassion, God's mercy, God's love, and God's fidelity, they become the final word. It wasn't the exile. It's God's mercy, love, compassion, and fidelity that become the final word. Here's my second point. Today's second reading is a continuation of the two movements that we hear about in the Chronicles. In his letter to the Ephesians, preach, boy, preach. Okay. In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul says, and see the two movements here, God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love he had for us, right? Because of the mercy and love God had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life in Christ. So the same two movements that you see in the Chronicles. Infidelity upon infidelity, that's us. However, God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love he had for us, brought us to life with Christ. This is, as it were, the new Chronicles. Humanity was dead in its transgression, but God is rich in mercy. The triumph and the greatness of God's love is seen in this, that even when we were dead in our transgressions, God brought us to life in Christ. So the gospel reading then further emphasizes these two movements. If Chronicles states that in God's compassion, God sent messengers to Judah, John tells us, God so loved the world that he sent his son. Not just messengers, sent his son. The entire chronicle from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, the entire chronicle of the history of salvation ends with God's compassion, God's mercy, God's love, and God's fidelity. There's hope, always hope. So here's my third point. I began my homily saying that each day we are writing a page, which at the end of our lives could be called the Chronicles of Satish, John, Mary, Mark, whoever you are. And I want to talk about the two movements in our lives. None of our lives are perfect. None of our lives are perfect. I can see the two movements that Chronicles talks about in my own life. Like Judah, there are times in my life that I would rather not boast about. But there is also another movement, the grace, the compassion, the mercy, the love, and the faithfulness of God that helped me learn from my life experiences, but with hope. So each day we are writing a page of a book. Like the Chronicles, our lives too is a theological work. It's a theological project. So today I'm inviting you to take home these questions with you. If we are writing the chronicle of our lives, what might be the main theological themes of the Chronicles of Satish, or John, or Mark? What are the theological themes that you right now see in your own life? What might be the main movements that describe our journey towards eternity? Lent offers us the opportunity to reflect on our lives in the light of the Chronicles of God's people. Not just the book of Chronicles, but the Chronicles of God's people. This is salvation history. And Lent gives us the opportunity to look at our lives in light of the Chronicles of God's people. Salvation history has much to teach us. Folks, yes, we are imperfect. But I pray that the grace, the compassion, the mercy, the love, and the faithfulness of God will have the final word in our lives as well. People of God said,